You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that is the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I'm your host, Jason Dowd. We got a great show for you guys today. We actually have quite a bit to cram into a one-hour slot, so there's going to be some stuff I'm going to be talking to you about. We also have two great guests coming on, and we're going to just kind of get right to it because, like I said, we don't have a lot of time to spare. But when you get a chance, go to our website, www.theamemagazine.com. That is the AME Experience. So that is our radio, television, and magazine. While you're there, you'll be able to see all of the links to all of our social media sites. So please like us, follow us, or whatever the terminology is for that particular site is. And you can also download our apps for Apple and Android platforms right there. It's really cool. You can also sign up for our newsletter. So there's lots of ways of keeping in contact with us. And also, if you are an artist or entertainer and you're passionate about what you do and you want the world to know what you're doing or what you're working on, let us know just by going to those websites or social media, and we'll try to get you on because that's important to us. Okay, so our two guests coming on today is Brian Pugh. And he is an actor with HBO's Mosaic and Vice Principals. He's also on WGN's Underground. He's going to be talking to us about these projects that he's currently working on and what got him into acting in the first place. So we're going to learn a little bit about him and see what he's got going on in his world. Then we have Jalen Moore coming on. He is in the A&E and History Channel's 6, which is he plays Armin Fishbait Khan, which is the very first Muslim Navy SEAL portrayed on television. So in this particular situation. So we're excited to talk to him and what got him so excited about acting and so much more. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that today. And one of the things that I want to talk to you guys about is, you know what, I'm kind of done with politics. I'm done with Facebook. And I'm not necessarily just done with Facebook personally, you know, my personal site, because of the fact of just the politics, but also the things that I'm seeing that's going on out there. The hate right now is just so great that it's bothering me. I don't even want to look at it anymore. It's not fun to go on to Facebook or Twitter or anything else because everybody's attacking each other. However, I can kind of deal with that. What I can't deal with is cruelty to animals. And I'll tell you what, guys, I haven't mentioned it before, but about 2 weeks ago, I saw one of the most inhumane acts that I have ever seen perpetrated on an animal before in person. When I was driving down the street, a guy threw two kittens out the window at almost 50 miles an hour. They hit the ground. One of them was immediately killed by the car in front of me, who pulled off to the side to see what the heck they hit. And then the one that almost hit my car, I was able to save. And I'm so grateful that I was able to save it. And I just, it's starting to make me wonder what the hell is wrong with people. I mean, think about it. You cannot be a normal, loving human being if you can do that to another living creature. It's just wrong. It's vile. And I'm a big proponent for rescuing animals and adoption because I think that's extremely important. There's so many amazing dogs out there that are able to do, and not only dogs, but any animal that can give you the love, the companionship, the trust that we want, that we're looking for. And when somebody does this to them, it just breaks my heart. I'm seeing so many senior dogs that are being turned over to rescues just because of the fact that their dog is old. It's not cute and cuddly like it used to be when it was a puppy. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that is horrible. If you give a dog away just because of the fact that they're old, you don't deserve to own another dog. And when you can sit there and physically harm animals like I saw with those two kittens, you are not mentally stable in the head. People say, you know, that's not necessarily true. Well, I think it is true because I would never consider throwing them out the window. And it's not because I care more or less than anybody else. It's because I wouldn't physically do that to somebody. And anybody that can do that to another living animal or human being, you know, there's something wrong with them. There's something physically wrong with them. So I am right now in a big proponent for stopping the hate and the violence and the divide. You know, every time I turn on Facebook, I see somebody else getting attacked because of the fact that they have a different political stance than somebody else, and they're getting beat 6 inches to their lives, or they're being ridiculed to the point where they can't enjoy life because they disagree, somebody else disagrees with them. You know what? If everybody agreed with me, this world would be a very boring place for me to live in. And if everybody attacked me because they disagreed with me, which most people do, you know, I would probably be a dead man walking. Guys, this is America. This is life. We got to all work together. That's extremely important. We cannot hurt other people. We cannot attack other living individuals or animals because we have something that we don't like about them. You know, going back to the animals here, guys, if you are that seriously pissed off at an animal and you don't want to have it anymore, there are ways of turning it in to a safe place and still get away from the animal that you don't want. You know, there's no kill shelters. There are adoptions all over the place. Use that. Don't just throw them out the car or go down to an abandoned road and just drop them off somewhere. You know, come on, man. Think a little bit. Would you want that done to yourself? And if you don't want that done to yourself, why the heck would you do it to somebody else? If you don't want to be if you don't want somebody to attack you because of you have a different view, because you have different views, then don't do it to somebody else. If you don't want to be discriminated against, then don't do it to somebody else. And if you don't want to be treated like you're treating those animals, don't treat them, you know, treat them like you would want to be treated yourself. Plain and simple. That's all I'm asking. You know, it takes a lot to get me upset, but what I'm seeing right now, I'm seeing red, and there's no reason for it. So guys, please, just open up your hearts. Use your minds a little bit. You know, be kind to your fellow man and be kind to the animals that are around us. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have Breon on the line. So don't go anywhere.
I'm Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladdysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion, and I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House. I just want to say, Fuller House Season 4, it's coming to Netflix real soon, so be sure to tune in sometime towards the end of the year. Thank you, guys.
Hi, this is Jamie Lunner. You remember me from Melrose Place? I listen to AME Radio Show. Won't you pick the pieces up, 'cause it feels just like I'm walking on broken glass. Walking on broken glass.
Walking on broken glass. The sun's still shining in the big blue sky, but it don't mean nothing to me. Welcome back, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Breon Pugh. He is in a new show called Mosaic on HBO. His first ever role was actually in a feature film called Bolden, and he's also on WGN's Underground and HBO's Vice Principals. So he's got a lot going on in his career, and we're excited to talk to him about everything that is going on and what he plans on doing for future projects. So welcome, Breon. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing good. Hope you're doing well and everybody's doing well.
Oh, we are. So it looks like you've been doing a lot in the business, which is really amazing to be able to do so many different things. But when did you get your start? When did you think that, you know, I think I want to be an actor?
Well, you know, just like basically is just the start of everybody's story. As a kid, I had an ambition to do it, but I had like a problem. I was so shy, and I really didn't just like to bring attention to myself. I grew up in a family of singers, and that was really the road. If I had to enter the entertainment industry, that was the avenue that I would have went in. But it was just something about movies and something about turning into another character and all that type of stuff that really just drew me into it. And when I got into when I was in elementary all the way up into high school, just little plays, local plays, theater and stuff like that really brought me, you know, into a new character of my own, of, you know, not being shy anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, being shy is probably one of the hardest things in the artistic field, because, you know, you got to be out in front of the public. You got to be able to do what you got to do. And sometimes that's really, really hard when you're shy. So how did you get over the shyness? Because that's something a lot of people suffer from.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I still have a little bit of it, but it's just something that I guess, like, when I'm on the stage or when I'm just in front of a camera, it's just that freedom. Like, you allow yourself to have that freedom and to use it and to just transform into something else. And just with the shyness, it's like you care about what people, like, think of you and what you're, like, what they perceive and all that stuff. But when you're performing, it's like it's all about you. You take that time for yourself to be kind of selfish in a moment to, you know, do what you want to do within the lines of the script. But it gives you that freedom, and it, you know, it helps you come out your shell.
Is it also the fact that you know you have people watching you, especially, like, if you do theater or something like that, and how do you block that out?
It is because it's people watching you, but, you know, like, I know within myself that I have something to give. It's just something, it's just a connection. And it's like it's almost like a high, like an adrenaline rush. And when you're at that peak, it's like you're invincible. And it's like you tune everything out, and it's just a connection between you and the people. And I tend to, like, my nervous energy and all this stuff like that, I tend to use that for whatever performance that I do. It's kind of like a hidden talent that everybody really do have, but you have to just harness that energy into something positive and use it for whatever character that you're trying to portray.
Mm. So what do you like the most about acting? Is it telling the story? Is it getting to play something else that you don't normally do? What do you like the most about it for yourself?
It's fun. Some people, it's kind of therapeutic for me, because it's a lot of stuff that even when you read a script and you get, you get to perform as a character, some stuff that you have hidden inside of you that you haven't dealt with yet, and that you don't even know that you need to, you know, get out, you know, of your body. It's just like that, like those scenes where you see in the movie that, you know, they tell the person to scream in order to just release. It's just like that type of thing. It's like once you get into that mode, it's very like therapeutic, you know, with everybody around you. And then you have, it's the camaraderie of it all. All those people and all the crew members, makeup, hair, and all of that. It's like a family. It's like a bond between everybody. And then you're getting to emote all of this emotion that you have pent up that you don't even know about. And it's like a release.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like you've been working with some pretty intense networks, HBO, WGN, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What's it like to work for those type of networks?
When you get on set and you don't really, it's not really even a thought in your mind. It's just like a regular old set. It's not nothing special about HBO from WGN or anything like that. But it's the process of the audition process when you're doing it. It's from you getting, because the process is you start from the casting director, and then especially for a TV show, they have to show it to the producers. And some people, some, you know, companies are more strict than others because they want a particular look. They want the show to be presented a different way. So it's like the it's just the fundamentals of everything. Once you're like when you're auditioning for a role or for a pilot or something like that, but once you get on set, it's pretty much the same.
Mm. So, tell me a little bit about Mosaic. That's an HBO special here. It's a series. I heard you picked up, so you're pretty much on it, pretty much full time. So, tell me a little bit about this particular show and your character.
Well, I play a character called Lando. How he's presented in the story, he's kind of like a newfound religion. It doesn't really give the audience a feel of what it is or what type of religion it is, but the main character who initially commits the crime is kind of saved by Lando because it gives him another outlet to express himself because he has all of this emotion and all of this psycho kind of energy that Lando helps him get into this new religion that helps him release and be at peace with himself. But the show is pretty much like his name. It has so many moving parts to it. It's constantly evolving, and you have to keep taking another look, just like artwork. You just have to keep taking another look at it before you finally, you know, get the concept of what it means.
Mm. And what do you like the most about your character?
With the show is so much, it's so intense. It's so intense, and you are constantly like, it's jump scares and all that stuff like that. And it's good to have a character that when they're on the screen, you feel at peace. And I'm just, most of the characters that I play, they have this peace about them. But on this show, with everything moving and, you know, deaths happening and murders and all that, I'm glad that I could be that peace for somebody, you know, that peace for the audience.
Mm-hmm. And now you're also on a couple of different shows, too. You're on WGN, which is Underground. Give us a little bit of a background about that and your character on there.
Underground is about a group of slaves who are trying to get away from the concept of slavery, and they're trying to break the chains to get away from their you know, the poverty and all of the mentality of being on a plantation. And unfortunately, it's canceled by WGN, but they're trying to get it picked up by hopefully another network. I heard some other networks been looking at it, and I play Lewis, and the scene that I'm in, it's this lady that's hung on almost like a cross, and she's been beaten because of some information that she knows. And my character is somewhat like, he just want to mind his business. He doesn't want to be involved in it because at that time, it's like, even if you knew what was right, it was so scary to even speak up for it. And a lot of that is happening now. It's a lot of people that know what's right, but, you know, we're too scared to even speak up for, you know, the right thing just because of the consequences that may follow.
Mm, that's true. That is true. And you also are on a HBO show called Vice Principals. What's this one about?
Vice Principal is about a principal, and he is trying to. He's trying to become the main principal. He has a rivalry with the main principals and her ideals of what the school should be, how the school should be ran. It's a dark comedy with Danny McBride. Anything that he does is, you know, it's going to be like the satire is going to be set in like a dark undertone, but it's pure comedy. I play a student that, you know, is just trying to get through school again. Just a character just trying to mind his own business, but I get caught in my teacher, who is Danny McBride. I get caught in his scandal because he's the driving teacher, and he's, instead of taking us driving, he takes us everywhere to pay off his gambling debts and all that stuff like that. So it's a very, very funny show.
Is it refreshing to be in something funny?
It is, because that's really, I really have fun just playing, you know, something that's just lighthearted, and that's really who I am. That's really who I am as a person. But it's refreshing to play somebody and to be like, you know, the butt of the joke or to be the straight man in a episode. It's a blessing. I live for stuff like this.
So what do you have coming up in the future? Do you have any new projects that you're also working on that maybe you can talk about?
I do. I have a project with as you announced, my first big project was called Bolden. I started filming that a couple of years back, but because of all the new changes they were making to it, it wasn't released yet. But that is, I play a character called Willy Warner. It's about the first jazz musician of New Orleans, Buddy Bolden, and it's about his life dealing with alcoholism and all of that, and I play his childhood best friend that kind of, you know, we're part of a band, and it's something, I can't say much about the script, but it's just something that nobody, like any moviegoer, anybody will, you know, ever seen before, how they shot it. I'm very, very, very excited about that one, and it's directed by Dan Pritzker. And I have another movie, a horror movie, actually, about college kids who at a winter luau, and they have some strange stuff happening, and it's just directed by Brent Serzin, and that's supposed to be out later this summer, and Bolden is supposed to be out later, December time, hopefully.
So we're just about out of time here. So tell everybody where they can see these particular shows, include the Mosaic, the Underground, and the Vice Principal. I know you said the Underground's canceled, but are they still playing? If they're still playing any reruns, tell everybody about that.
Yes, Underground. Yes, it unfortunately is canceled, but you can catch reruns. They have it on demand and for the WGN network. They also have it on Netflix in some areas. But just your local listings, they show reruns there for HBO, Vice Principal, and Mosaic. Mosaic actually has an app that you can download, and you choose the way the movie goes. It's just choose your own destiny type of thing. It's called Mosaic app. You can actually download that and tune in. And Vice Principals, They're showing reruns of that, and you can find it on HBO On Demand as well.
And, of course, we can't let you just go without giving everybody a way of finding you, following you, seeing if there's any social media networks or websites that you want to give out, so please go ahead and do so.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Facebook at Breon Pugh, and I have an active page on that as well. My Instagram name is Breon P. And my Twitter name is Breon12. All of those are linked. So if you follow me and at me or whatever like that, I will surely follow you back. I love being interactive with people. And if you want to know anything about how to get into the business, I will most definitely be happy to help.
Well, Breon, thank you for coming on and being such a great guest. This is a lot of fun. I'm so glad you're able to do what you love to do, and you're making so many cool things happen for you. And I wish you all the best on future projects. And I'll continue to follow you, too, see what you're going, and hopefully we'll be able to get you back on and talk about them.
I will definitely appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual, fantasy creatures, or urban legends? Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey guys, it's Gloria Silverstein from Lydia on Funked, and you're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Jalen Moore, and he stars in the A&E and History Channel's breakout series called Six. He stars as Armin Fishbait Cohn, and he is making history with this because he's portraying the very first Afghan Muslim Navy SEAL on television, and he's got a great story. We were talking to him before we started here, and he's got some great stuff to talk to you about. We're going to love to talk to him about this series and everything else he's got going on. So welcome, Jalen, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me, man. Appreciate that. That was a big introduction. I'm a little nervous now.
Well, don't be nervous, because, you know, the way that we do it here is just that's what you've done, and you should be proud of that, and we're just going to kind of see how you got to that point. So it's all about you, right?
In this moment, it's all about me. Usually I'm all about everybody else. So I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
No problem. Hey, everybody's got to take some time to reminisce about what they've done in their careers and where they're going, and this is the time to do that. And you know what? I know that your story is going to inspire other people as well. So I think the very first thing we need to get to know about you is, why did you become an actor? What made acting so special for you?
Well, for me, it started off when I was a kid. It's always been in my DNA. Like, my older sister was a dance teacher and into musical theater, and so she would always pull myself or my little sister into, whether it was her college productions or when she broke off and taught. And my father, he's from Afghanistan, he was always obsessed with movies and wanted to be an actor himself. And if you remember Batman 1 with Jack Nicholson, mm-hmm. when I saw that as a kid, which my mom was like, you let him see that? Because I was really young, but, you know, it's all good. I went home. I raided my mom and sister's bathroom and, like, took their makeup and put, like, powder on and, like, lipstick and I found, like, a purple hat. Like, I wanted to emulate what I just saw. And my dad's like, oh, you're the Joker now. And he has this very awesome, sinister laugh he can do that he always did every time. And so he would do this laugh, and I would act out what I just saw in Batman, and he was recording me, and I swear from that moment, it was like, thus the actor is born. And so since then, I've just always been involved with entertainment, musical theater, a lot of musical theater, a lot of dance as a kid, not necessarily on film. That kind of led me in this journey it was in high school when I was playing football, and I'm a big athlete, big martial artist, dancer, you name it. I'm a very physical, passionate person, and I'm a Scorpio. So those Scorpios out there that hear this will know what I mean when I say passion. Basically where my journey led me was, I was in high school and there was an audition for a teen soap opera. Now, I grew up in the Bay Area. I grew up in Oakland, but during my last 2 years of high school, we had to relocate to Omaha, Nebraska, because my father worked at Kellogg's, and it closed down. So we had to relocate to Omaha, and it sucked. Obviously, a Bay Area kid coming to the Corn State. However, Omaha welcomed me. It was a great metropolitan city, and because of the sports and the programs they had there, I fell right in. And I was a popular new kid, so it felt awesome. But anyway, leading up to that, my senior year, there was this audition for a teen soap. And somebody had told me, hey, didn't you always want to be an actor? Because I always talked about it. And I was like, I mean, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to play football. I'm going to play for the Huskers. I'm going all the way. I love the NFL. Here we go. And they're like, well, there's this audition for this, like, teen soap. Like, you know, maybe check it out. One of the writers named Tari Robinson, who used to write for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, she's from Omaha, so she wanted to come back and do a local teen soap. So I was like, sure, whatever, cool, I'll check it out. And I showed up to this local casting call with my senior wallet size photo. Now, if anybody remembers those, they are so ridiculously awesome that here I am with no resume. I mean, minus a little bit of like musical theater and drama and stuff that I wrote down that my older sister had helped me with, but I just showed up in this little, with a paperclip and like a little wallet size. All these other actors had their headshots. They drove in from Chicago, Iowa, whatever. I go in, they're like, hi. I was like, hey, what's up? I did the audition, just doing what I do best and just being me. And I ended up booking the lead role. So that
kind of turned things for me, because for football, I blew out my right knee my senior year, and I had to do reconstructive ACL surgery. So I have two pins in my right knee for life. And so that, you know, goodbye football. And so then here comes this pilot that I book, and it was a great experience. Nothing ever came to fruition of it. It didn't sell to ABC, and that's what they were going for. But the best thing that spawned out of that was my experience, and it kind of lit that pilot within, that pilot light. I'm quoting my career coach, Barbara Deutsch. She calls it a pilot light within. That passion was lit from that experience of being on set and memorizing lines and being a different character. And so the writer-director took me under her wing and said, look, she told my parents, your kid's got talent. He has a really good work ethic. He knows how to take direction well, probably because he's an athlete and a martial artist, so that shows. And I think he's got something. So with your permission, I'd love to guide him. I know a good acting teacher here in Omaha. And then when he graduates, I would suggest he goes to Chicago for a year, because that's about a six-hour drive through Iowa. And then when he's ready, then go to L.A., because he's such a nice guy. I feel like L.A. will eat him up. And my parents were like, okay. And my dad's like, well, make sure you go to college, you know. Very Afghan, very like college degree, must be doctor, engineer, you know. I was like, okay, Dad. So I said, just give me the year off, please. He said, fine. So I go to Chicago for a year, living on my own, out there at 18, up in Rogers Park. And back in the day, that wasn't the best place in the world, but somehow the universe and God kept me safe. And rock and rolled out there, which is learning, dipping into Second City for some classes, Acklin Studios, doing a lot of different like short films and non-union work. And after about a year kind of learning the ropes and showbiz there, I decided to take the leap and come to L.A. So then I moved to L.A., and I've been here 17 years now. And moving to L.A., it was just, once I got here, it was straight hustle. I got like a list of like every SAG franchise agent that's out here, and literally walked in, drop off letters, cover letters with my headshot, this and that. I just jumped in and read books and learned the ropes and asked questions. And I was like a sponge, bothering any and every actor and teacher and casting director and get my hands on. And I just kind of learned that way. And I still went to college part-time, a junior college, pursuing a degree in kinesiology, and because I wouldn't do physical therapy. And I became a personal trainer, started my own business. I started at Bally's. And then, so like some actors have like a waiter job or like a bartender job. Mine was an actual personal trainer. But the difference between the trainers I meet nowadays that are actors and the trainers that were coming up in my days was we genuinely cared. Now, not to say that trainers nowadays don't care, but I feel like a lot of them have done a couple of PT exercises and they jump in and they're like, oh yeah, I'm a trainer now, check it out. And then they get an audition and they're like, peace out, client. But I had a very strong business for a while until it got too busy, and the weight scale tipped and led more with the acting side. So said goodbye to college. Dad, mom kind of saw that, and they saw that I was starting to gain a little bit of traction here and there with acting, and that I had a pretty successful training business, which kept me afloat. So that was that, and I dove in, and what really helped me in my journey to six was during a lot of fragile times, because an actor, it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. I have a corp, and it's called 1222 Productions. And the reason for that, it's a very similar story to The Rock, believe it or not. There's one point years ago where my wife at the time, or she was my girlfriend at the time, and now she's my wife. I lost clients. People were traveling. Nothing was happening in training. There were no auditions. I couldn't get work. I had $12.22 to my name. And I was making like $100 an hour. I was like a big trainer. I had some celebrities under my roster. I had some athletes. I had kids. I teach self-defense. I was doing it all. And for some reason in that year, like it all left. And I was sitting there devastated. And I told my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, I said, you know, I think I'm going to like join the military or something. And she's like, because my cousin's in the military. He's a Green Beret, just retired. Now he's a military consultant. And my brother-in-law was in the military as well. And now he runs a SWAT team and detective. So I have a lot of families that serve in police and military. And she's like, no, you're not joining. And I even called my cousin. I was like, I think I'm going to join. He's like, dude, I will shoot you myself if you join the military, and here's why. It's not that I'm against the idea. It's the fact that you're the only one in the family that actually has the drive and the talent to make it and do something in showbiz. I forbid you to join, and you just keep fucking going. Yeah, excuse my language. And I said, okay. So, cried it out, of course, you know. 1222, I'll never forget that. That was all I had left in my name. And I said, one day, when I continue to work and then I get my break, I will open up a corp and name it 1222 Productions. And now that exists. And so I would say that you're probably going to ask the question, like, and I'm kind of giving you a lot of information at once through this journey, which I love to do anyway because I love sharing this. Can you tell? For a lot of actors out there and people that are, you know, in entertainment, what I did was I surrounded myself by a team. I had a lot of supportive friends before my girlfriend, who I met in a musical and then became my wife. A career coach, an acting coach, a therapist. Yes, everybody needs a therapist in life. You need someone to talk to, and sometimes professional counseling. And I'm very, very opinionated and sometimes can be a little crazy. So not crazy in a crazy, crazy way, but crazy as in, like, you know what? I need someone professional to talk to. So, career coach, acting coach, therapist. I have a great manager, good agent. I have a sensei. I go to also a boxing gym. I do CrossFit. I mean, so you have to literally surround yourself with positivity and a good support system and a good team, because if you do not, you will fall. And a lot of actors out here that I meet are very closed off to having a career coach. It's a catch-22. They're like, well, I don't have the money. It's like, well, you're going to have to make money and spend money to then book work and make money. Think of it as a college. Mm-hmm. So like I tell my parents, I'm like, look, the next X amount of years, I'm going to invest a lot of money into like classes, headshots, acting coaches, career coaches. You know, my career coach, her name is Barbara Deutsch. So her guidance really took my career over the edge. In about 2012, a lot of productions were running away from Los Angeles, and you couldn't get work. It was just mainly all A-listers for all these movies and TV shows, and then like any other kind of smaller role, or like a few lines here or there, they would be casting locally from whatever state they were filming in. Because that was the big, like, let's all go to Louisiana, let's all go to, you know, there's some stuff in Florida, New York. I mean, all these different states were opening up a big tax incentive for productions in 2010, 2011. To 2012, a buddy of mine was out there, and he was a production designer who moved there from L.A. to New Orleans. And he said, you should come out here. Because at that time, I had some guest stars booked. I was on That's So Raven, did a little work on CSI Miami, CSI New York, but still it hadn't popped for me. And that year, I was getting married. In January 2012, I told my wife, I'm like, listen, I need to do this for me. I need to know that I give him my all, because we're getting married September 29th, 2012. This is New Year's Eve in 2011. I said, we're getting married, and I need to know I give him my all. I feel like I'm hitting a wall of acting, and so much production's run away from L.A., and I'm not an A-lister, and my name isn't big enough on a resume to get me in the door for, like, these big guest stars. And back to opportunities, which you and I were just talking about. So she goes, do it. So I retired my clientele. I gave whatever clients I had left to my wife, who also had some experience personal training, and the rest of my friends. I shaved my head, recreated my look, whole new energy. Went to New Orleans off of one friend, slept on his couch, met a whole bunch of new friends and stunt guys, because I also do my own stunts. Most, not like the big, big, big explosions and jumping off like 80-foot buildings. I leave that to the real, real stunt guys. But I do my own fights and dives and rolls. And I go as far as the production will allow me to until they're like, no, you're not doing that. We're getting a real guy. And I'm like, fine. But so I started couch surfing, and I started being a local. I spent back and forth, California and New Orleans, back and forth, California, New Orleans. I spent so much money and so many points. And I was getting married that year, so most people would have said that's a foolish decision, but I knew I had to give it one last hurrah, because then when I got married, my plan was, if acting still wasn't working out, maybe I go back to opening a physical therapy office. Maybe I go back to school. Maybe I do, I don't know. Obviously not the military, because I've already been slapped by my cousin saying, don't do that. But so 2012, 9 months back and forth. I worked on 10 films, and it just changed my career. I got an agent in New Orleans that right when I got there, and that was from my friend and from different contacts, and me just being very outgoing, and anybody I met, give me an inch, I took a mile. I was like, let's go for coffee. Let me get to know you. You know, I'm like the networking king. And I love authentically connecting with people. I love people. So I met you and you were in the industry. I was like, sweet, let's talk and get to know you. And even if that person, let's say they couldn't help me in any way, it didn't matter. I was like, well, cool. I have a new friend now. Awesome. Let's hang out when you want. Like, I'm the guy that, like, I'm talking to you on the phone now. If I was getting married tomorrow, I'd be like, hey, fly from Tampa, come to my wedding. Like, I'm that guy. So, and that comes from my dad. So that's just how he is. He can meet somebody at the gas station and be like, oh, my son's having a barbecue. Come over. Like, my dad, who's this? He's like, oh, this is my friend. I met him, you know. So the Middle Eastern thing, I guess. So in New Orleans, so that what happened was that year, that 2012, taking a risk, my career coach told me, go do it. And I listened to her. And even though they weren't huge roles, it was a line here, line there, you know, small role in Oblivion that was actually cut out. I booked Hot Pursuit. I got a nice little cameo scene at the end of the movie with Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara. I worked on The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, but I wore a helmet and I was one of the main peacekeepers. So, like, doing a lot of these stacked my resume, and what that did, that hard work and sleeping on couches with stunties and with other friends who were so gracious and had their doors open for me and eating out of tuna cans and literally a 99-cent store, like, there was nothing glamorous about this. I booked a role, it was local hire, and it was SAG scale, and that money burned fast. Meanwhile, my fiance is in California supporting me and training clients and working at Pink Taco and cleaning chip machines and being a waitress to continue to save money and make money for our wedding. Talk about timing, but man, she was so supportive, and I really thank her for this. And my mother-in-law, too, sharing a lot of her Sky Miles. So once I booked these 10 films in a 9-month period, stacked my resume, 2013, that resume is a little shinier. It allowed me to grab the manager who I have now, his name is Steven Adams. Steven gave me that opportunity. I sat with him. He heard my story about what I did. He goes, that's unbelievable. He's like, you took a risk, which most actors wouldn't do. You left. You were getting married that year, and you literally left. You left your fiance for 9 months back and forth. Like, holy cow, just to get a line here, a line there. I was like, I knew what I had to do, man. And the local hire ran away, so I became the local hire. You know, all the productions ran away. And by doing that, I met him, and then he has guided me now. And he got me in the door to audition for Homeland. And then I booked Homeland Season 3. I was on 2 episodes of that, playing the character Eric Baraz. And I was the one that helped Brody across the border when he was still alive and try to sneak him into Iran. I was one of those SEALs, go figure, because of what I play now. So with his guidance, then the years started to stack. And the resume started to go bigger. And I just jumped in full-fledged between training a few clients on the side to be able to eat, obviously make money, and continue on the path and continue with my career coach, my manager, my agent, my team, my whole team. And then came the audition for 6. And also, let me give a shout out to my agent in New Orleans, Brenda Netzberger, because if it wasn't for her taking a chance on me, giving me the opportunity, I never would have built the body of work that I did by working in New Orleans and her assisting and helping me get in the 6. So I owe her a huge thank you, man. I'm indebted to her. Brenda Netzberger, but Brenda called me. 6 was auditioning. I found out there was a show called 6 and was auditioning in LA. And even with my experience and even being on Homeland, I couldn't even get in the door for that. And I was like, wait, I've felt this before. And now my wife's like, oh man. Like, and you know, we have a baby on the way, and I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, what is happening? You think you make it to a new level and then it gets harder. And I saw the people that were involved with 6, Bill Broyles, you know, Academy Award winning writer, who's done like Apollo 13, Castaway, Flags of Our Fathers, just to name a few, phenomenal. Bruce McKenna, you know, co-creator and writer of Band of Brothers, The Pacific. I mean, these are big dudes. Leslie Linka Glatter was the producer and directing the first 2 episodes, I found out, of 6. And I was like, wait a minute, I worked with her on Homeland. I got to get in somehow. Couldn't get in on the LA side. Couldn't do it. Closed doors. Whether it's closed doors, another open window. I get a call from Brenda, my New Orleans agent. She goes, listen, they're doing this show called 6 in Wilmington. I was like, yeah, I've heard about it. but I haven't been able to get in on the LA side. She goes, well, because the Fincannons, they're a big casting company out of the South Greece region. They love you so much and they're a fan of your work. They decided to throw you in as the token guy. They want you to audition for a role named Buckley. And I was like, Buckley? Like, how am I going to get that? I mean, I read the breakdown. It's like a Texas boy, and it's only 4 episodes of the first season. She goes, yeah, but you'll be the token guy. Do you want to audition? I'm like, absolutely, I want to audition. So she sent me 13 pages of sides, and I had less than 24 hours to prepare. And I started changing stuff. I took risks. And Brittany was like, my wife said, well, you know, Academy Award, like Bill Broyles, this is his writing. Like, David Broyles, Bill Broyles, Bruce McKenna, like, are you sure you want to change stuff? I'm like, I'm not going to get it. It's a 4-episode arc of a white boy from Texas. What makes you think I'm going to get it? And so I called my cousin and said, give me some military jargon. Give me some more, like, acronyms. Like, I'm going to change shit up. I'm probably not going to get this. I put it on tape. It took, like, 3 hours at my buddy's house. And we send it. Hear nothing for 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, I get a phone call from Brenda, and she goes, remember that role you auditioned for, the role of Buckley? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you didn't get it. I was like, sweet. Thanks for the call. She's like, well, funny that something happened. Bill Broyles called and said that they were so impressed with your tape, and there's something about you that they think is special and that they want. I'm like, what does this mean? She said that they called and they asked what your ethnicity was. And I said, your father's from Afghanistan. Your mother's American, but Spanish background. And they said, oh, my God, let me call you back. So then they called back, and they said, we think it would be awesome to add one more seal to the ensemble of this show. And what better than to keep it close to what Jalen is? We'll make it the first Muslim Afghan American Navy SEAL, and that's never been on television. So he literally would be making history on history. And do you think he would accept that? She goes, pretty sure he would. She calls me, and I'm just crying. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. They want you. They created a role for you based on your tape. I didn't have to test. I didn't have callbacks. I didn't have to go to the network X amount of times like other actors had to do. It was all from one tape. It was a true blessing and a very unconventional story. This, like, does not happen to a lot of actors. And I'm so indebted to David Broyles and Bill Broyles for just changing my life. And so I booked it. And in 2 days, she's like, and in 3 days, you're getting picked up. You're going to boot camp in San Diego with the SEALs. And you're relocating to Wilmington for like 5 to 6 months. And I'm like, what? So it completely changed everything. And that took me on the journey. And that's when we got our ass kicked in boot camp. But that could be a whole nother conversation with you, because that was a lot of pain and the hardest stuff I've ever done in my life. And that led to season one, which was a success. Season two, they promoted me to series regular. Season one, I wasn't that. I still see, and just when you think, like, you get a role created for you, you're like, oh my God, I'm in. They're like, by the way, they're not going to pay you and hire you to series regular. You're going to be a guest star recurring because all the series regular slots are filled. This is studio talk, by the way. There's always room for more, but that's just the way the studio is. And I'm like, I graciously accepted. I was like, whatever. Like, I'm just happy to have a job. I'm happy to work with these fabulous people. I love Leslie Lincoln Glatter. I can't wait to see her. I'm in. And luckily, after the success of season one and all of my hard work, the studio acknowledged, and so did the writers. And, you know, my champions, Bill Broyles and David and Bruce and Alfredo and Arturo at History, everybody said, you know, Jalen deserves it. So I got promoted to series regular, and that's my first series regular in being in L.A. for 17 years. And so it was a huge, huge turn and change in my life. And now it's put me in a boat where I'm getting a lot more opportunities, more quality auditions now as opposed to quantity, even in the Marvel universe and stuff. And so, you know, but even now, back to it. Like, it's been such a blessing and it's raised my career. I'm back to the grind of, like, during hiatus, time to audition. I'm getting there, and, you know, I'm not at the level where directors are offering me things. And so, you know, one day we will, but until then, you just accept it and you become the professional auditioner with thick skin. And you go in there and you just do your best and you knock every audition out of the park. And if you're right for the role and your essence is correct for that part, you get it. If not, you move on, you give your best, on to the next. And so my journey, you know, six has really changed my life, and I'm super grateful for that. And it's just so happy. So. That's been a long story right there, wasn't it?
That was a long story, but you know what? That's awesome because, I mean, you can see, you pretty much showed everybody what it takes to be in this field, and everybody thinks it's just something you can just jump right into. You know, you're going to make it big, you're going to come out, and you're going to have all these movies, and that is absolutely not always the case. I mean, sometimes, like you said, people get out there and they get lucky first shot, they get hit in this movie, and it just takes off, and they're an overnight sensation, but then there are people that aren't. That doesn't mean that they're not good. It just means that you got to keep working at it, and you got to keep pushing yourself to become that person that you want to be, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I think, you know, a lot of actors, like, I think they hit walls when they're stuck in one avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be done this way, it needs to be done this way. Like, look, I was willing to recreate my look. I shaved my head, for crying out loud. I moved to another state and lived back and forth while I was engaged just to go after that passion, that dream, you know? And so it's, you have to be willing to bend. Sometimes you may get into producing or directing when your ultimate goal is acting, but because of the opportunities the universe opens up to you, take them, run with them. Next thing you know, you might be directing a film and you throw yourself in it, and now you get to fulfill that acting desire, you know? So it's like, there's just so many avenues that are open. You just got to be willing to, I guess, open your heart and listen to them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, you've had an amazing story here. I'm just completely blown away with everything that you had to do what you love. You're playing a role that you love. It was created for you, which is just amazing, and it's a historic role. Now, unfortunately, I only got about 3.5 minutes left before we have to go to a commercial break. So tell everybody quickly, what do you love about this role the most, and where can they see Six on television?
What I love about this role most is the honest representation the writers have created in a reflection of our military and the real warriors, these men and women, and what they go through. It's very raw, it's very honest, and it allows me as an actor to converse with a lot of these guys from not just SEAL Team, but SEAL Team 6, aka DevGru. So to be able to dive into their minds and understand, like, it's, you know, it's every kid's dream to play one of these warriors, especially if it's a hard thing. I'm not in the real war where bullets are flying at me, thank God. You know, I have two kids now and a family, but I give my hats off and my heart to these people that do volunteer to do that. And so to be able to play a role to represent that with such great, honest writing and to wear the real gear and go through, you know, a fraction of the real boot camps, which is still the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and shoot the real guns. And it's a dream role that I'm living, that I get to do, and the access that I have to these guys in the military. And it's been a blessing, man. It literally is a dream role. I'm loving it. The second question, what was that again?
where can they watch the television show and watch you do what you love to do?
Of course, forget about me. Let's talk about the show. Six. So, if you have cable, then go on the History Channel and look on demand. You can see Six Season 1 as well as Six Season 2. Our fourth episode of Season 2 airs this coming Wednesday. And Season 1's easy, is only 8 episodes. Season 2, there's 10 episodes. Now, if you don't have History Channel, you can find Season 1 on Hulu, as well as Amazon and iTunes. We're getting a lot of people that are catching up and have messaged me on Instagram, a lot of fans, saying, I just binge-watched Season 1 on iTunes, and now I'm going to jump into Season 2. Oh, my God. So I didn't even know that until these fans started reaching out. So iTunes, Amazon, Hulu, or History Channel, look up Six. Check out Season 1. Binge it. We have the amazing Walton Goggins that was in our cast with us that season. And then Season 2, Olivia Munn joined our cast. And she's great, too. And so I really recommend it. It's a really, really amazing, honest, gritty show. I think you guys will love it.
And obviously, one other thing before we go, how can people follow you and see what you have going on and any projects you have coming up?
My address is, no, I'm playing. I'm very big on Instagram. So if you look up Jalen1118, my birthday is November 18th. For all those that want to send me something, I'm just playing. Scorpio again. So, the handle on Instagram is at Jalen1118. Jalen1118. On Twitter, it's Jalen_more. Somebody took my name out there, so I had to put a stupid little underscore in there. Jalen_more. And then on Facebook, I have a fan page. it's official Jalen Moore.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have so much that we could still talk about, and unfortunately we're running out of time, so I thank you for coming on here. We will definitely have to get you back on here to talk about so much more, because this is an amazing story and an amazing field that you're in, and I'm sure we could go on for hours. But thank you for taking your time, coming in here, talking to us about your career, your passion for this new show that you have coming out. I hope everybody will go check it out as well.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jason, for having me. It was an honor.
Not a problem at all. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Stars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is @DowStudios, and Instagram is @JasonDow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hey guys, it's Lily Mae Silverstein playing Penny in my new movie, Alex and Me, which will come out digitally on June 19th, so go check it out.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion. I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House, and you're listening to AME Radio.
Hey everybody, we are back. We have just a few minutes left, but I really hope that you had a great time with us today, and I really hope that our guest made a great impact on you and you got to see some new things that they have going on, and maybe they inspired you to get out there and try something yourself. And I hope that what I talked about at the beginning of the show will help change lives out there for the better. You know, we can all do our part and make a huge impact in the world around us. You don't have to do anything super major. All you have to do is have a little bit of passion and try to make lives better for other people and other animals. You know, it's just that simple. Okay, so what am I doing this weekend? Well, you know what I'm going to be doing this weekend? I am actually going to be going to Disney, and we're going to try out that brand new Toy Story Land. I didn't get to go the week before because it was raining like crazy, but this time I am. I'm going to be spending the weekend with my wife. We're going to go to have some fun for our anniversary, because it is actually my 18th anniversary, believe it or not. So I'm really excited about that. And I get to spend it at one of my favorite places in the world, and I can't ask for much more than that. So hopefully you guys have some great plans for the weekend. I don't know what you guys have on the roster or whatever you're going to do, but make sure that it's going to be something that you're going to have fun with, enjoy it with your family or friends, or by yourself, whatever it may be. But just get out there and try something new and explore the world around you. Okay, so we have another show coming out tomorrow, and we're also on each and every week. And if you don't know where to find us on the radio dial or the internet, here it is. You can go to amfm247.com and listen on their 11 AMFM stations across the United States every Friday at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also Saturday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have two different guests per show. And then you can hear us again on WKLAP.com every Friday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and every Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, those same two guests per show. You can also find us on Radio Love. That's RadioLUV.com every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. PhoenixBroadcasting.com every day, and it's on demand. You can also find us on iHeart On Demand and iTunes On Demand as well. It's just that simple, guys. And if you can't find those links, you can go to the website or you can go to those specific platforms and type in AME Radio Show. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. We will see you again tomorrow. Keep those creative juices flowing, and good night, everybody.
That's the end? We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.